Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. But let's recap Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. Shmuel is sent to anoint a new king, but Shmuel does not want to go. He fears that Shaul will kill him if he hears. And maybe he's reluctant to go. So Hashem sends him with a young heifer and say, "You're coming to sacrifice." Only when Shmuel sees the sons will Hashem tell him who is the chosen one. And all the sons pass until finally David is brought, and David is anointed amongst his brothers. And he is the exact opposite in appearance and personality than Shaul. Immediately upon anointing, David has a Ruach Hashem, a divine spirit. And simultaneously, Shaul loses his divine spirit. And ironically, David is called to heal Shaul and remove the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit. David is portrayed with all the accolades of a king, heroic, smart, handsome, and Hashem is with him. Most interestingly, his most salient characteristic at this point is his ability to play the kinnor, the lyre. When he does, Shaul is relieved of the Ruach Ra'ah, the bad spirit hovering above him. Shaul's initial reaction to David is one of love, Vayeaveu. This will be a very important touchstone in their relationship. The line between love and hate, love and fear, is very thin. And that will become apparent throughout the Sefer and David and Shaul's relationship, which we will track. In our chapter, Goliath, will come on the scene. And we will also observe David's heroism and great faith in Hashem, true leadership potential and actualization. Visualize this. The Plishtim brazenly gather their armies in the Yehuda territory of Socho with endless troops. Shaul then mobilizes his men in the valley of Elah near Beit Shemesh. And the two armies station themselves on opposite mountains. Each morning and every evening for 40 days, the Philistine giant Goliath appears in the valley between the two armies. He's massive, tall, wearing copper armor from head to toe. His armor is heavy and his weaponry is heavy, sharp, and made of high-quality iron. And his weapons bearer walks before him. He is a very impressive sight. He taunts Bnei Israel and demands that they pick a warrior to combat him, mano a mano, man to man. And the representative who wins grants his nation freedom. And the loser's nation will become enslaved to the other nation. The Philistines have a similar culture to the Greeks. Earlier in Sefer Shoftim, Samson, who fought against the Philistines, was a single warrior. In Greek culture, the lone hero is the subject of many books and ballads. Goliath is confident that he will win. He belittles the paltry armies of Bnei Israel. And his approach is successful. Shaul and Bnei Israel are terrified of Goliath and the consequences of losing to Goliath and the Philistines. David, who was the weapons bearer of Shaul, is back home to help his father with the sheep. His work with Shaul is part-time, and he still has family obligations back home in Beit Lechem. Yishai, his father, is worried about the three older boys who went to fight with Shaul and sends David to inquire about their welfare. This gives us Yosef vibes. The younger chosen, right, brother going to seek his older brothers? How will this end? The image of David here is very striking. Verses 20 to 22. David abandons the sheep with the watchman and he arrives at the battlefield and he abandons Vayitosh, his belongings at the warehouse, and he runs eagerly to the soldier camp and asks his brother about their welfare. As they are talking, Goliath appears in the valley, delivering his daily diatribe, and the instant Bnei Israel see Goliath, they run away because they're so fearful. During this tumult, the Israeli soldiers are discussing, what's the king's prize? Whoever slays Goliath, the king will make him rich, number one. Number two, give his daughter's hand in marriage. And three, will free the soldier's family. David is so intrigued that he asks that the promises be repeated. This angers Eliab, his older brother, who was passed over in the anointing ceremony, where David was chosen instead. He's upset with David and sees him as irresponsible and one who relishes battle. This does not stop David, and he keeps on inquiring. And finally, word reaches Shaul HaMelech, Shaul the king, and he calls David for an audience. Here is a very important part of David's introduction story. We already discussed how Shaul's introduction story with the donkeys and the personal odyssey and meeting Shmuel foreshadow and speak volumes about Shaul's failed kingship. He doesn't find the donkeys. He needs so much help in getting the Ruach Hashem in the divine spirit. Here as well, David's introduction story will foreshadow and highlight David's career as a successful and courageous king. When David meets Shaul, Shaul is self-confident. He tells Shaul to stop worrying about Goliath, and he volunteers himself to fight with Goliath. Huh? Shaul says to David, "You're just a youth, a na'ar. What do you know about fighting a warrior like Goliath?" And David responds, "I know a lot. You know, I was a shepherd. And a lion and a bear came and took a sheep from my flock, an animal from my flock. And I went out after him, and I hit him, and I pulled his mouth open, and I held his beard," right, from the lion, "and I killed him with my bare hands. And just like I killed the ari and the dove, the lion and the bear, I will kill this Plishti, this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, because he is making fun of God's soldiers." So David says, you know, the same God that saved me from the lion and from the bear, he's going to also save me from this Plishti. And Shaul says, "Go, and may Hashem be with you. But before you go, I have one thing to help you with." Vayalbesh Shaul et David madav. So Shaul gives David his armor, and he dresses him in his armor. And David then puts Shaul's sword on top of his armor, and he tries to walk, but he can't, because he doesn't have experience wearing armor. David is a shepherd. So David says, "I have to take this armor off. It's not me. I can't walk with this." So David takes stones from the water and he puts it in his little shepherd's knapsack, and he comes close to the area where he is going to fight the Plishti, where he's going to fight Goliath. David is recounting the events in his life that inspired him for this moment. He fought bears and lions that stole and mauled sheep from his flock. Instead of retreating in fear, David describes the hand-to-hand combat that he did with these animals to save his animal. This is an introduction story of a leader. David is a shepherd. He acts heroically to save his flock. And David saw this as a sign from God that he was destined for great leadership. That is the view of Rashi. But look at the opposite side. Shaul thinks a warrior needs armor, and ironically tries to make David into Goliath by giving him to wear his kingly armor, which is very similar to Goliath's armor. And remember, they're both very tall. This is Shaul's biggest mistake. He thinks that size and armor make the king, but that's not it. Shaul was a head taller than anyone in Am Yisrael. That did not make him a great king. David is chosen because now Bnei Israel need a different model. Someone who has inner strength, belief in Hashem. So David removes the armor and fights Goliath, with a slingshot and stones, emphasizing the faith, the emuna element of this war, and the religious aspect of this war. And Goliath comes close, and he has his shield bearer walking before him. And when Goliath sees David, he makes fun of him because he is ruddy, redhead, and good looking. He thinks he's just a boy. And Goliath says, "You're like a dog that you're coming with me. Am I a dog that you're coming at me with sticks?" And he curses David and he curses Hashem. And Goliath says to David, I'm going to give your body and bones and skin to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the field. But David answers right back and he says, you're coming to me, becherev, ubechanit, ubechidon. You're coming to me with a sword, with a lance, and with a spear. But I am coming to you, b'shem Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Marachot Yisrael Asher Chirafta. But I am coming to you with the divine name, who's the God of all these armies that you are defiling and making fun of. Today, Hashem is going to put you in my hands. And all of your armies are going to be destroyed, because you have to know that there is a God of Israel. Because Hashem doesn't fight with swords or with spears. Ki laHashem haMilchama veNatan etchem biyadenu. Because Hashem really is the fighter. And He is going to give you into our hands. So David approaches Goliath and makes it very clear that this is a religious battle. Goliath makes fun of Bnei Israel and their God and the God of Israel. So David responds that you cannot make fun of the God of Israel. The God of Israel is eternal. And swords don't win battles. Gods win battles. And the only real one is the God of Israel, Hashem. So David runs forward and he strikes Goliath in the one exposed part between his eyes and he falls down dead. And what David does is he kills Goliath with a slingshot. And it says very clearly, Vecherev ein biyad David. And David did not have a sword in his hand. Only later he comes and he takes the sword of Goliath out of its sheath and then he slices off Goliath's head. When the enemy sees this, the Plishtim run away. And then David takes the head of Goliath and he brings it to Yerushalayim, and he puts his weapons in his own tent. But we learn that later he even gives the weapons, and especially the sword of Goliath, to the Kohanim in Nov. And when David finishes the battle, everyone asks, who is this? Who's his father? And they answer, David is the son of the servant Yishai. When David cuts off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword and publicizes this, the Plishtim retreat in fear. And the verse emphasizes, V'cherev ein biyad David. David did not do this with a sword. He did this with the word of God, with a slingshot, with miracles. The future great warrior of Israel needs to prove himself in this introduction to Bnei Israel as a warrior, but who believes that God fights Bnei Israel's wars, not man. Man is the instrument of God. And this is the kind of leader Bnei Israel need now. Someone who teaches them that it's God who wins the wars. And in the aftermath of the confrontation, Shaul asks Ben Mizahanar, who is this guy? Who is his father? Shouldn't Shaul recognize David? He plays for him. He's his weapons bearer. How could he even ask this question? Rashi suggests that he was curious of his lineage, if he was one from kings, because Shaul knew he was going to be supplanted by someone else, and he wanted to know, is David his rival? Also, Shaul promised his hand, the hand of his daughter in marriage, to the person who is going to defeat Goliath. So he wants to know the yichus, right? The background of this young man. And in addition, Shaul was so busy with so many things going on that it was hard for him to remember everybody, even David. So let's sum up. The Plishtim gathered their armies in the Yehuda territory of Socho with endless troops. And Shaul mobilizes his armies in the Battle of Elah near Beit Shemesh. And the two armies are stationed on opposite mountains. And they see Goliath coming out every day and every night for 40 days and 40 evenings. And he has massive armor and massive weapons. And they are very afraid. When David has to leave his father's home for a while from tending sheep because his father sends him to check on his brothers, David hears the prize that the one who slays Goliath will receive. He'll be rich, he'll get the daughter's hand in marriage, and he will be freed. And his family will be freed from taxes to give to the king. So David keeps on inquiring. Shaul finds out, and he calls David for an audience. And again, this is a very important part of David's introduction story. Shaul needed an odyssey, a whole teaching experience in order to get to be king. But David, the anointing changes him that moment. When David meets Shaul, David is self-confident. And he tells Shaul to stop worrying about Goliath, because he will slay Goliath. But Shaul says, "You're just a youth. What do you know about killing? This guy's a killing machine." And Shaul tries to put his armor on him and tries to make him into Goliath. But the whole point is that David has to be David in order to defeat Goliath. And really, Shaul or Yonatan should have been the ones to fight against Goliath, because they're the king and his warrior son. So David is a new type of leader, a little bit like Yonatan, as we saw earlier in the battle, but the one who has God's name on his lips all the time. The sword versus the word of God. Swords don't win battles. The God of Israel wins battles. So David runs forward and strikes Goliath in the one exposed part between his armor. And it's between his eyes, and he falls down dead. David cuts off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword and publicizes his act that he killed Goliath. And the Plishtim retreat in fear. And the verse emphasizes, V'cherev ein biyad David. David has no sword in his hand. David comes not with a sword in his hand, but the word of God in his mouth, miraculously killing Goliath with a practical device, a slingshot. The future great warrior of Israel needs to prove himself in his introduction story. He's a warrior, but he believes in God, and he believes that God fights these wars, not man, that man is the instrument of God. This is the kind of leader Bnei Israel need now, and one who can articulate it, like we saw David articulating it. So thus a new leader of Bnei Israel is introduced and is born. David, the wielder of God's name in battle. Thank you for studying together, L'Ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.